Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. We'll read verses 19 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. First Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without the law, as without law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And let's finish on verse 23 together. Ready? And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, the world is just so oppressive and so evil and so depressed. Thank you for a place like church. Lord, that it's exciting. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit and your power here. We have the uplifting of the preaching of the Word of God, the fellowship with your people. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Tonight, the sermon will be a little odd, I'm sure, to many. I hope you'll listen real carefully. I call it attitude protection for people helpers. Attitude protection for people helpers. Listen to these verses, 1 Corinthians 9:19. It says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all men, that I might gain the more." Here Paul made a decision. He said, I don't have to do anything for folks, but I've chosen to serve people, and I've chosen to be involved with people. He says then in verse number 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Now, Paul said, I'm not committed like a slave. I don't have to serve people necessarily. I have a choice about doing it, but I want to do it, and I'm going to do it for the gospel's sake. And folks, when we help people, we ought to help people for the gospel's sake. That's why we do it. Now, I have to tell you, doing God's work is doing work with people. Now, when we get to heaven, I'm not exactly sure what all of our duties up there will be, but as long as you and I are alive down here on the face of this earth, our work for God is going to be work with people. And it's going to be, when we help people, we're doing it because that's the work that God's given us to do. In our church, we have a lot of people that do what we call people work. We have nearly 25 adult Sunday school classes. Every one of them has a teacher and an assistant teacher. And we have a lot of people that work with adults. We have a lot of people that work with the teenagers and the children. Oh, may I also say, people work is hard work. People work is hard work. You're either helping people or you are the one being helped. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk to the ones that help people and tell you a little bit about the behavior of the ones that are getting helped. And so I'm not going to talk to those of you necessarily that are the ones that are being helped all the time, but you will recognize yourself being described in this sermon tonight. People work is work. People work can be hard work. People work, though, is rewarding work. People work is challenging work. You say, how in the world do you really succeed long term in working with people? Well, if you want to walk with people, you've got to walk with God. If you're going to work with people, you better walk with God, or you will not have the patience or tolerance to work with people. If you do not get with God and get a supernatural power, you'll just want to kill people. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Folks, you want to last at people work? You better walk with God or you will not tolerate them. We can't put up with people. And you say, how am I going to do it? It takes supernatural power to work with people. The title of my sermon is Attitude Protection for People Helpers. Are you a people helper tonight? If so, I'm going to give you some things. They're going to be quick. They're going to be simple. I just want you to ponder a few thoughts that I have pondered. Now, let me tell you something. I have not become disillusioned with people because I was never illusioned with them in the first place. I don't spend most of my time going, huh, what? Somebody in my church did something stupid? I can't believe it. Now, I know you were stupid when I met you. It helps some of you to remember we believe everybody's a sinner. Reason I don't go around the church hating people and being offended with people all the time is I hated you before I knew you. I already knew that you were a sinner. I already knew that Satan was out to get you. I already knew the potential of sinful man. So I've not become disillusioned with people because I was never illusioned with them in the first place. And folks, if you want to work with people, there's some things that you kind of need to learn. And I'm going to say some things. I'm going to make some simple statements. But if you want to help people and you want to do it a long time, there might be some things you need to tuck into your brain and keep track of them a little bit so you don't find yourself just shocked out of your mind at people and you can just keep helping people for a long time. First of all, let me say this. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. But let's love them and trust them and help them anyway. Now, Jesus did. There are sometimes I look at someone and I think, what were you thinking? Where in the world was your mind? And then, have you met anybody recently that was unreasonable? Goodness. Illogical, unreasonable, and then self-centered. That is the human race. Now, in Luke 23:34, it says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Here is Jesus. He's at the hand of man. Man is being illogical. Man is being unreasonable. Man is being self-centered. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know how stupid they're acting. Folks, don't give up on people. People need people who care. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to work with people, you're going to have to face it. They are illogical. And they can be very unreasonable. And they can be very self-centered. You say, well, I don't want to work with anything like that. Then you don't want to work with people. That's just the way people are. And I'm not justifying it, but I'm telling you the truth about it. People, though, need folks who will care. Don't let man's sinful behavior shock you out of the people helping business. You say, that person right there is being so unreasonable, it's pathetic. Okay, maybe they are. Just go find somebody and help them anyway. You see, people that help people spend their life dealing with illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered people. That's just the way it is. And I think sometimes we allow people's behavior virtually to shock us away from doing what Christians are supposed to do, and that's help people. Number two, may I tell you that if you do good, people will accuse you of being selfish and have ulterior motives. If you go giving, there's somebody that's going to say, what are you trying to get? Well, all you're doing is trying to give. But let me tell you, even if in your giving someone accuses you of selfishness and ulterior motive, go ahead and give anyway. Because what can happen to us is we give of ourselves and somebody says, what are you up to? Now, if you're not careful, you'll be offended and say, well, then I just won't give. No. Don't you let the devil scare you out of being a sincere giver and being good to people. Matthew 11:16, it says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows. A few verses later in verse 19, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Here's Jesus. All he did was come to do good. He was spending time with the publicans and sinners. And he wasn't there trying to get their food. He wasn't there trying to get anything from them. He was there trying to help them. And he got criticized immediately for helping people. They immediately said, what's the ulterior motive here? What are you doing with those people? What are you really like? Look, folks, if people criticize you for helping people, help people anyway. Help people anyway. If you help others out of a pure heart, somebody's going to come along and disbelieve your sincerity. Will you go ahead and be a sincere people helper anyway? You say, why would somebody be like that? Why would somebody, when you're giving out of a pure heart and you're helping out of a sincere heart, why is it that they would disbelieve your sincerity? I'll tell you why. It's because the human race usually judges people on the basis of their own motives. And those that, if you were sincere and real and good, they look at you and within them they would say, well, I wouldn't do it without having ulterior motive. And because they can't picture themselves doing it for the right reason, they can't picture anybody else doing it for the right reason. See, we usually make our judgment on others on the basis as if we were in the very same situation, what would really be in our heart. So they're basically telling on themselves. So I say, if you want to protect your attitude as a people helper, there's some things you ought to know. Number one, you ought to know that people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. But love them, trust them, and help them anyway. Number two, if you do good, people will accuse you of selfishness and ulterior motive, but do good and give anyway. Number three, if you're successful, you'll find yourself winning false friends and true enemies. Let me say it again. If you're successful, you may find yourself winning false friends and true enemies. But you should go ahead and attempt to succeed anyway. Jesus did. In every case, people were illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. And I said, love them and trust them anyway. Why? Well, Jesus did. And I say to you, if you do good, people are going to accuse you of being selfish and have ulterior motives. I say do good anyway. Why? Jesus did. And if you're successful, you're going to end up with some false friends and some true enemies. I say go ahead and succeed anyway. Why? Jesus did. Let me read a couple passages of Scripture to you. Luke chapter 19 and verse 36, it says, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Here the whole crowd is for Jesus. They're throwing their coats down, saying, walk across this, glory to God, what a great guy. Hey, the very same chapter, let me read another verse to you. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Do you realize if you read that chapter, these are basically some of the very same people that one day said, what a great guy. And 24 hours later, they said, crucify him. Oh my, that's the human race. That's the way the human race can behave. Herod, if you'll remember the story when Christ was a young child, the wise men were traveling to find the Christ child. And they go by way of Herod, and Herod says this. He says, hey, if you find him, come back and tell me where he is, because I want to go and worship him also. Is that really what he wanted to do? Not at all. There's a false friend. Listen, you better just understand something. We sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, because there's a friend that won't let you down. There's a friend that won't let you down. And so we need to understand there are going to be people that will become false friends to you. And there will be some, though, they'll be true, but they'll be true enemies. I remember this. I remember a man saying to me, he said, the hard part about fighting in the Vietnam War was you couldn't figure out where your enemy was. I have more respect for a true enemy than I do a false friend. I mean, I like somebody that tells you, I don't like you, this is how it is, rather than somebody that says, I like you, and they're stabbing you in the back all the time that it's happening. But you have to understand something. This is the human race. This is the human race. So if you're successful, you may win false friends and true enemies. But I say to you, attempt to succeed and go on anyway. Number four, the service that you render today will be forgotten tomorrow. The service that you render today will be forgotten tomorrow. So what do? Serve people anyway. Jesus did. Just so you all know, you'll go around this church doing very good things for a lot of people, and they may thank you today, but they'll forget about it tomorrow, and it won't take long until they don't remember that you did anything for them. So what do? Serve people anyway. Give anyway. Do right anyway. I'm not going to do right because of the way you act. I'm going to do right because that's what I'm supposed to do. And you won't serve people very long if everything you do is going to be on the basis of how it is received and how the human race behaves about the way you do what you do. You better do what you do because it's right to do, and you let your reward come from God. If not, you'll quit. You won't be able to help people very long if everything you do has got to be attached to how they treat you, how they thank you, how they remember you, what they're going to do to you. You better treat people right and do right by people because that's what Christians do. You see, the service that you render today will be forgotten tomorrow. In Luke 17:17, it says, "And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? The story is Jesus had healed 10 lepers. Only one came back to show thanks. Where were the other 9? They took everything that Jesus would give, walked away, didn't even say thank you. I apologize to you, but let me tell you what can happen to you in the church. There are people who take whatever you give them. They may never even thank you. They don't even remember you did anything for them. So that's not right. I know it, but it's not right for us to stop giving. It's not right for us to stop serving. It's not right for us to give up on people. I'm just telling you the reality of the human race. If I were you, I wouldn't help people expecting something from them in return. Help people because you love God. Some of you are going to become disillusioned with people because you're doing what you do to get something from them. You better do what you do to glorify God. If not, you'll quit. You'll quit your Sunday school class. You'll quit your bus route. You'll quit you'll quit on people because you just expected it because you were being good to them. They were going to be good back to you. The human race is basically bad. We have too much faith in the human race sometimes. Today, the welfare mentality is very strong and has become very strong even in the church. You take care of me. You take care of me. You virtually owe me because you have and I don't have. That's socialistic. It's not what the Bible teaches. But what do we do? I serve today. I give today. And it's not even remembered tomorrow. Who were you doing it for, or for who were you doing it? Were you doing it to get accolades from man? Were you doing it to get attention from man? Were you doing it to get a pat on the back from man? Or were you doing it because it's right to do and you're doing it to glorify God? Now, you may last for a while in people work if you're doing it because it's right to do. But if you're going to do it on the basis of the receiver's action towards you, you won't last at all. Help people because it's right. Let me give you another little piece of advice in working with people. Honesty and transparency will make you vulnerable and maybe turn you into a target. I said honesty and transparency will make you vulnerable and may turn you into a target. So what do? Be honest and transparent anyway. Jesus did. Luke 12:51 says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division." That was Jesus. Jesus said, "We're not going to get along with everybody." In Luke 13:5, it says, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Do you know that if you get up and you tell someone, if they don't get saved, they'll split hell wide open, they get mad at you? They'll get mad at you for it. You say, "What do? Tell them the truth anyway." I'm not saying be rude, but I think people need to hear the truth. I think people ought to hear the truth. You know, if you tell a man the truth about man, he may attack you. Yes, sir. Most people don't want honesty, they want agreement. Did you hear that? Most people don't want honesty, they want agreement. They want somebody to agree with them. We'll lose a lot of people from our church just because I won't agree with them. God still blesses the truth. God still blesses the truth. But let me remind you, those of you that work with people, honesty and transparency will make you vulnerable. It may end up making you a target, but be honest and transparent anyway. Why? Because that's what's right to do. You say, but Brother Owens, I would like it that if I were honest with somebody, they would like it. Not a lot of people that love truth to that degree, especially when it's about them. Most people don't want to know the truth about them. And so, honesty and transparency make us vulnerable. Let me give you another. People pretend to love the little people, but they sell their souls to the big people. People pretend to love the little people, but they sell their souls to the big people. Say, what do? Well, you fight for the little people anyway. That's what Jesus did. Matthew 19:14, it says, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. There are all sorts of people that like to give the impression that they love the poor, but I'm not sure that there's as many people in love with the poor as what you might think. You take the returning backslider. There are all sorts of people say, well, I'm for the backslider coming back to God. Yeah, they come back to the church and you talk about them for 2 months afterwards. You say, I'm for the down and out. Are you really? You hear, that there are people in here that I'll get up and preach, God's the God of a second chance. There are people say, amen, but you're not a Christian of a second chance. So you're saying amen to the fact that God's a God of the second chance, but you can't say amen to the fact that you're a Christian of the second chance. All sorts of people pretend that all those little people, the down and out and the poor and the backslider that needs to come back to God, we're for them until they get up close to you. So people pretend to love the little people, but they sell their souls to the big people. I say this, you've heard me say it. I say we'll shut off the air conditioning before we'll shut down the buses. Some of the people just said amen. Amen will be the first ones that attack me if I shut the air conditioning off all of August. They say, I give my tithe. I've been around this church longer than who you have. Who do you think you are coming in here, pastoring this church for 9 or 10 years, shutting off the air conditioning? I promise you, somebody just said amen will be the first ones griping, throwing a fit because we turned the air off to keep the buses rolling, to keep some poor people out of hell. People want to give the impression they're for the little people. Most of them are sold out to be big people. They want to be the big shot. They want attention. They want their way. They want their comfort. So I'm telling on the human race, if you don't mind. Number next, let me tell you this. What you spend years in building can be destroyed in just a few days by a bad person. What you can spend years in building can be destroyed in just a few days by bad people, evil people, gossiping people. You say, what do I do? Build anyway. Yes, build anyway. Why? Jesus did. Yes. Jesus did. Matthew 26:48-49, it says, now he that betrayeth him gave him a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Let me read to you from the same chapter, just a few verses later. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus spent 3.5 years training a group of men to be faithful and loyal, and he told them the truth. It took just one night, and they were all put their tail between their legs, and they ran. 3.5 years he invested in those people, teaching them to be loyal, hardworking, to love God, to love the ministry. And in one drop of a hat, they said, I'm out of here. Yes, sir. Judas, in a moment, betrayed Jesus and brought his earthly ministry to a halt. The disciples ran. Yes, sir. It's sad if you look at it. Little men can damage big ministries and big men. Say, what do? Build on anyway. You just keep on going anyway. Some of you is you get around people and you work on people and you invest in people and you say, Brother Owens, I've given now years of my life helping that person, and overnight, they've forsaken and they're gone and they're not interested in the church. They're not interested in God anymore. That's not anything new. That's not anything new. So I'm just kind of blows my mind. Don't let it blow your mind. I'm telling you tonight, it happens. It's happened before and it'll happen again. Yeah, you would have to be in the church for long. You've seen it. I give you some realities in working with people. I said, number one, people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered, but love them, trust them, and serve them anyway. I said, number two, if you do good and you give, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. What do? Do good anyway. Give anyway. I said, number three, if you're successful, you're going to win false friends and have true enemies. You say, well, I really don't want success then. No, go ahead and succeed for God anyway. I said, the service that you render today will be forgotten tomorrow. What do? Serve God anyway. I said honesty and transparency will make you vulnerable. And it might even cause you to be the object of attack. What do? Be honest and be transparent anyway. It's worth it. That's what Jesus did. I said people pretend to love the little people but sell their souls to the big people. What do? Fight for the little people anyway. I said that you could spend years building, and that which you spent years in building can be destroyed in just a matter of days. What do? Build people anyway. Keep building, keep building, keep building. Say, Brother Owens, it gets discouraged. You help people and you teach people and you love people. And then in one night they go out and mess up their life. They get mad. They get contrary. Well, should we all just throw in the towel? Should we all just take our toys and go home and just give up on God and give up on the church? I say not. I say we keep on going. Jesus faced it. We face it. Others face it. But this is real. We're talking about the lives of people. Next, may I say, people really need help. Sometimes the ones you help the most have the potential of hurting you the most. I said people really need help. But let me tell you, the ones that you help the most then have the potential of hurting you the most. So what do? You help people anyway. You help people anyway. Listen to this. Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2, the Old Testament passage of Scripture. It's found again in the New Testament, but it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." That's Isaiah chapter 61, 1 and 2. It is a testimony of Jesus Christ. Then you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. It almost has the identical words. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You know what? In the Old Testament, it was predicted that Jesus was going to come. He's going to help people. He's going to make the lame walk. He's going to make the blind see. He's going to heal broken hearts. He was going to die. He was going to make it so people could have a heaven as their future. Then we come along in the New Testament, and it is promoting the very same thing about Jesus Christ. And in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19, we see again what Jesus is all about. And a few verses later, listen to this. Luke chapter 4, it says, "And all they in the synagogue," this is where he was speaking, "when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." You understand? Jesus said, "I come to heal the brokenhearted. I came in the Spirit of God. I came to love you and help you and do good to you." And you know what they say? They say, "Well, we don't want that. We don't want that." Folks, let me tell you, sometimes the ones he was doing, you know, everything Jesus did, he did it to help man. Do you know when he was dying on the cross, he was dying on the cross for the ones that put him on the cross? Do you know while he was being crucified for the ones that were crucifying him? Do you realize that when he was in pain, he was doing it for the ones that put him in that pain? And the ones you help the most sometimes are the ones that can break your heart the most. Let me teach you something. Some of you that are building adult Sunday school classes, the more people you love, the greater potential for hurt in your life. Some of you, you work really hard. We got some bus captains in here. They work really hard at reaching people. Let me tell you something, bus captain. If you succeed at reaching people, you'll probably also succeed at having a broken heart on a regular basis. Some of you need to step out and come out of your comfort zone in regard to your heart. You're four and no more, and that's all you care about. Maybe you ought to get your little Sunday school class and get you a bus route and find out what it's like to have your heart broken every once in a while, because you're helping people. Helping people. But the more people you love, the more people that you help, the greater the potential of you having your heart broken. Some of you that are newer at your Sunday school classes are learning that for the first time. And all of a sudden, you've got these people that you love and you're investing in them and you're believing and you're taking chances and you're giving to them. And they hurt you. They took everything you gave them and walked away. Never even thanked you. What you did today, they forgot about tomorrow. They asked for honesty. You gave it. It cost you. You were transparent. It cost you. You love, but it was not returned. It cost you. But let me tell you something. Jesus gave, and He got very little in exchange, but Jesus loves us, and we're supposed to be like Jesus. But the more people you love, the greater the potential for your hurt in life. Oh, but when you have that privilege, the more people you love, the greater your opportunity of being close and having friends. I know lots of people. I know people by the thousands. I know preachers all across America. Now, I have to tell you, they'll call and their hearts will be broken, and I try to help carry their burdens and I try to encourage them. But it's well worth it. It's worth every bit of it. And we need to realize we're in the people helping business. And some of you, you're going to be disillusioned. Let's just make sure, if you're brand new in the church, you're in a church of sincere Christians, but we're sinners. Somebody here is going to disappoint you. Somebody here is going to let you down. Somebody here, the flesh, is going to get away from them, and they're going to do something wrong, or they're not going to treat you right. But did you get in this thing for what people can do for you, or did you get in this thing for what you can do for people? Let me give you one more and we'll be finished. If you give people the best that you have, you'll probably get kicked in the teeth.
That's right.
Give it your all.
Yes, sir.
Give it everything you have.
Yes, sir.
And you'll probably get kicked in the teeth.
Right.
But just keep giving everything that you've got.
Amen.
Just keep giving. You say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. That's because His ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I'm not, though I might be doing it for you, I've got my sight set on a higher standard. I'm doing it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. And if all your friends turn on you, you keep serving people and loving people and making a difference for people. Why? That's what God wants us to do. You give the best. You give your best. Somebody will trash it. But just keep giving your best, because that's what God deserves. The human race is not good to the human race. But God's good to the human race. Don't do what you do for people solely for them. Now, I'm glad for us to help each other and love each other and be good to each other. But if I were you, I'd do more what you do for God than doing it for somebody else. If not, again, you're going to become disenchanted. You're going to become disillusioned. You're going to think, well, if I'm going to... Christianity is not a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Christianity is I'm going to do right no matter what everybody else does. I'm going to do what's right no matter what anybody else does, no matter what anybody else says, no matter how anybody else behaves. I've got to do right. Keep your eyes on the ultimate prize, and that is pleasing God. If you'll do that, you'll be able to help people for a long time. If not, first time you help and somebody just kicks you in the teeth, you're going to say, that's it, I've had it. It's not worth it. Who were you doing it for in the first place? It's worth it if you're doing it for Jesus. He's got a record book. He knows what He's doing. He's keeping track. The Bible tells us here, let me read Matthew 27 to you. It says, therefore, in verse 17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus Christ, which is called Christ? And in verse 21 it says, "The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas." What had Barabbas ever done for anybody? This is at the time right before the crucifixion. Here, the Pilate said, "I'll let somebody go. I'll let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'll let Jesus Christ, the one that came to save you, I'll let him go, or I'll let Barabbas go." You know what the people said? "Give us Barabbas. Let Barabbas go. Go ahead and crucify Jesus." Let me tell you, you can give your all, and people still let you be crucified. But we don't do what we do for people. We do what we do for Jesus. We do what we do for God. And sometimes when you look around and you're thinking, does anybody see this right? Is anybody going to handle it right? Is anybody going to receive it right? Is anybody going to behave right about it? If nobody behaves right, you behave right. You keep doing what's right to do. You keep serving people and keep helping people and keep investing in people. Because I'll tell you something. Oh, you can be dead sure. I was thinking, Dr. Smith, of this. Through the years, all the people that you helped and 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 you helped. You might ask yourself from time to time, where in the world are they all? Thank God for these people who have been walking across this platform 37 and 40 and 45 and 50 and 60 years. All, hey, here's some from the bus ministry and people that had a hard time and but still hung in there and got it right with God and lasted. No, not everybody will pan out, but somebody will pan out. And if only one panned out, it would be worth all of our energy and all of our effort. You see, Paul said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." He said, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof." Paul said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to help people, but I don't do it just for people. I'm going to do it for God. Because when I do it for God, I know I've got the right motive. And God won't let me down. Now, people let you down. And folks, let's not let each other down. Let's not let each other down. But, if we do, just remember, we're all sinners. But thank God, God doesn't let us down. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I wish somehow in something that was said tonight we could extend the ministry of somebody in this room, some adult Sunday school teacher, some person that's helping people all the time, but they're beginning to wear on you. It's wearing you out helping people. Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Do it for God. Do it for Jesus. Do it for good. Do it for the gospel's sake. And if people don't treat you right back, you just keep on doing what's right. Just keep doing what's right. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, we want to welcome you to the Savior. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, "Preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me. I need to be saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I need to be saved." If you're like that, I've seen at least one hand. If you need to be saved, you come this evening in the altar call. Hey, but is there somebody out there, you say, "Preacher, I've become a little disillusioned with people. You know, I get disappointed. I get my hopes up and I watch somebody and they let me down, or somebody get mishandled themselves or did this or did that. And I start to be a little disillusioned. But preacher, tonight I'm going to refocus on Jesus. And I heard what you said. We're sinners. And I just need to keep on doing what's right because it's right to do. And I got to get my eyes off of the way people respond and how the people handle the good that I do. And I just got to do right because it's right to do. And I need to adjust my thinking so the devil doesn't get me away from helping people. The devil doesn't scare me away from helping people. I see it. I see people are sinners and they've got to have help. And somebody's got to have the good sense to hang in there where somebody else doesn't have good sense. God spoke to my heart tonight. Will you raise your hand and say, "That's me. God spoke to my heart. I've got to get my eyes on the right thing." You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, you come. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. Maybe you need to just to come and adjust this thought of helping people and get your attitude right about it so that people don't scare you away from helping people. They certainly have the potential of doing so. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar for a moment? Don't let people run you away from helping people. Don't let people scare you away from being good to people. Don't let people chase you away from doing right. You may be good to somebody today and they may not appreciate it, but it may be you tomorrow that doesn't appreciate it. Might be somebody else disappointed in the way you receive goodness and the way you receive their care. Don't let man's sinful behavior shock you out of helping man. Man has the potential of being good. I think man has the potential of doing right. But let me remind you, man also has the potential of doing wrong. Man has that fleshly nature. You got to keep an eye on the reality of that thing. You don't have to become disillusioned if you're never illusioned. Don't forget, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why don't you come and let us baptize you? If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, maybe you need to join the church. Somebody needs to decide to become a people helper. Some of you received help, and you've received help, and you've received help, and you've received help. It's time for you to start helping. You've been taught and taught and taught and taught. It might be time for you to start teaching. You've been led and led and led and led. It might be time for you to step out and do a little leading. You say, but I could get hurt. You're absolutely right. Somebody could act toward you the way you have acted toward others. Thank God somebody hung in there. Thank God somebody was able to tolerate your human frailties long enough to help you to get to another level of success. This will be the last time through the song. You need the altar, it's still open. Thank you, folks. You can have a seat there if I call.